The last of our three speakers is Brother Jerome Scott, who is from Atlanta, and he will address us on the Southern question as it relates to building independent politics coming off his practice in Atlanta. Brother Scott.
How y'all doing? Okay, first of all, I'd like to express my pleasure in being able to address this conference. I think that this conference will go down in history as a history-making conference and a turning point in the struggles for the African American people and for working and poor people in general. First off, I'd like to say that when we examine independent politics, time what comes to people's minds is electoral politics. Although, as we all know, politics is much more general than that, and there are areas of politics that are much more significant than electoral politics. So I always like to say right up front that if we envision electoral politics as politics, then we also must say that electoral politics will never get us to freedom. Therefore, when I speak of politics, I'm speaking of it in the general sense, and the electoral part as a big part, but perhaps not the most significant part. Politics, in that big P, is a real expression of the economic conditions that our country and indeed the world is in. It's a fateful expression of the way our economy is going, both internationally and nationally. What do I mean by that? After the Second World War, what we witnessed in the international economy of the Western society was a great economic expansion. That expansion, of course, was based on raping the world's peoples of their wealth, of their labor. But nevertheless, the Western economies reaped great benefit and had great economic expansion between World War II and the mid-70s. What was the politics of that period? We'll see that the politics generally related to a politics of expansion, a politics of inclusion. The great movements of the civil rights movement to include African Americans in the voting process based in the South was part of that period. The movement to, and once you brought in the African Americans, once you went from less than 500 elected African American officials in this country in 1960 to over 7,000 today, that had the ripple effect of bringing in more women into the process, bringing in more youth into the process, and peaking, you know, in the participation of folks in the electoral process. The politics of expansion, the politics of movements, the anti-war movement, it was a real hot era. And one of the reasons that that hot era existed was that there was an understanding that there was crumbs on the table for many movements. There was a period where reform was possible. Therefore, this period represented the politics of reform. But something major happened in the middle 70s. The limits of the capitalist markets were met, and the capitalist began to turn in on itself. The exploitation of the neo-colonial workers had reached its zenith. If the capitalists of the Western world was going to maintain their maximum profit, which is their driving force, they had to turn in on their own workers. So what do we have? We begin to see the contraction of the international economy, the pushing for more maximum profits out of the national economy. And what do we see in politics? A real reflection of that. you begin to see the politics of contraction, the politics of exclusion, the politics of taking back the gains of the civil rights movement, the politics of jingoism and mobilizing the American citizenry around war, around the invasion in Grenada, and the invasion in Panama, and now the invasion in the Middle East. These politics is a reflection of this contracting economy. And therefore, what we've seen in the electoral arena is that less and less participation is going on electorally. In the last presidential election, just a little bit over 50% of the voting age population cared to vote. Of course, that means that there is no mandate. You know, when that few of people participate in the process, there is no mandate. Although, of course, the elected official act like there is. Now, what does this mean? Many people look at those statistics and they get scared. They wonder whether or not something is happening to what is supposed to be our great democracy. You know, are we losing it? Well, there's several things that I think is important when you look at that statistic. One is, historically, very few people participated in the process anyway. You know, when our great democracy began the process of electoral voting, the only people that was eligible to even register was the white male landowners. So there was a very small, you know, when you look at those statistics, it looked like a very high percentage of people voted. They talk about 80% back in the 1800s that participated in the process. Well, it was 80% of the 5% of the population that was eligible to vote. This country does not have a long history of real participation in the electoral process. The peak was in the 1960s, and then you're only talking about 60% of the voting age population. So it shouldn't be strange that this low level of voting participation is part of this politics of contraction and part of this politics of exclusion. The second thing we should look at when we look at that really gets to this question of independent politics. What has happened to the Democratic Party, which was supposed to be the people's party, in this period of economic contraction? What we're witnessing is the Democratic Party's desertion of its historic base. This move to the right that everybody is talking about, that is really only a move of the Democratic Party to the right, is not a move of the population on the critical issues to the right. It's only a move of the Democratic Party to the right. What this has effectively done is deserted large sections of people throughout our country that is now looking at no representation politically. I maintain that this desertion of the Democratic Party is a small part of this independent political activity that we are really witnessing throughout this country. Let's take a look at the South. Just over the last 10 years, and this process of the Democratic Party moving to the right and deserting its base, particularly its African-American base and its working class base, you know, it's having great effect in the South. Look at a struggle like in West Alabama Black Belt, where it's not only a question of African-Americans, because in the last few elections, you've had African-Americans running against African-Americans. It has boiled down to a question of, what is your program? What are you going to do that's going to directly affect the quality of my life? Who are you going to represent? Are you going to represent the masses of people in the Black Belt? Or are you going to represent the people who still have economic power in the Black Belt? That struggle is an expression of independent political activity. Sometimes they run in the Democratic Party, sometimes they run outside of the Democratic Party. It is an objective reflection of this economic contraction and the politics of isolation of the Democratic Party. Let's witness Keysville, Georgia, And we could go on and on. Here you have a situation where a town in Keysville, Georgia, been incorporated for 100 years as of a couple of weeks ago, but yet had not been allowed to have any political representation for over 50 years. It was independent political activity that awakened the citizenry of Keysville and demanded that they not only elect their own officials, but they have their own direct relationship with the state and the federal government, an expression of independent political activity. But it's not just electoral. Expressions of independent activity is going on throughout the South, particularly in the African American community, but not restricted to it. Witness the infusion of struggle that's developing around the environmental issues, particularly around toxic waste. The fact that over 60% of all the toxic waste that is disposed of in this country is disposed of in the South. And not only just in the South, but in the African American community and in poor communities throughout the South. And historically, that has gone basically unprotested. Well, no more. No more. There was just a large caravan against poisons that went through Louisiana up through Alabama, protesting the poisoning of our communities. There are community organizations that are springing up and have been around for some time all over the South. Witness the struggle for the retention of black land. Witness the struggle for the development of credit unions throughout the rural communities in the South, led by the Federation of Southern Communities this moment and have been for the last 20 years. Independent black political activity and independent political activity is going on throughout the South and, in fact, throughout the country. So we don't have to ask the question, is it happening? What we have to get down to is what's going to happen with it from now on. How are we going to make it more effective? And this, I think, gets us to this point of where our economy is at this moment and what kind of politics is reflected by that. Our economy has went through a total structural change over the last few years. A change of such proportions that you can only call it a revolution in technology. A revolution that has totally changed each and every one of our lives forever. When you look at the growing army of unemployed people, not only throughout the South, but throughout the country, there's something different about this growing army of unemployed people. And the difference is that they're not about to be re-entered into the productive process. Electronics and the introduction of robotics have moved the productive process from where you had devices that saved labor to now you got devices that replace labor. These labor-replacing devices have cut out thousands and thousands and thousands of jobs that will never again return, and therefore have eliminated the workplace for thousands and thousands of people. What kind of politics then is expressed by this sort of economic situation? On the side of the people who control this country, I think it's clear that the politics that we're seeing is the politics of genocide. They can no longer rely on the Democratic Party and the trade unions and the neighborhood organizations that's in their pocket to control this mass of people who are beginning to realize that they no longer can make a living within this economic order and are beginning to organize these independent political actions that are taking place. So their form of trying to control is moving rapidly to genocide. On our side, the political expression that we have got to have is the politics of transformation. We have got to take these independent political activities that are developing and weld them into a mighty struggle, not only pointed at electing good people, but also pointed at direct social transformation of our society. In order to do that, we got to educate ourselves. You know, we have got to take forums like these and take it back to our community and make sure that our community is educated from what we have learned at this conference. It's only going to be through education and raising the consciousness of our communities that we're going to be able to weld this independent political activity together so that it is strong enough to make the transformation necessary. The last thing that this situation demands is the development of a leadership core. We have got to expand our leadership base. And of course we do that by raising our consciousness. We also do that by our participation in these independent political struggles that are developing. And we have to be very careful about this question of leadership, because the ruling class of this country is also knowing that we got to develop a leadership corps. So they're going to send us some. They've always sent us some. So we got to have some principles here. And I think the number one principle that we got to have here is that if you're not in the trenches with me, then you don't deserve to be my leader. I would just conclude by saying that independent politics is something that's rooted deeply in the African American community. And what we're witnessing today, because of the things that I've talked about, I think, is that other independent political action is beginning to be organized around that core of the independent action that's taking place in the African American community. And that's the way it should be. And that's the way it is. And I think that we have to really understand the responsibility then that that puts on us as being members of the African American community. The responsibility that we have is to let it be known that we are clear that the liberation of the African American people in America today is totally tied up with the transformation of American society. Thank you.